بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So yesterday Maulana Brah reminded me, and now today he's actually insisting that you're going to carry on with the story. He reminded you. He's lucky, he's in i'tikaf. Yesterday I began talking about this piece of ayat that was recited yesterday, Ud'uni yastajib lakum. Ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And as I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to giving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives freely. Not only that, but also in abundance. You have to look at this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a servant and a king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being your king. And you being from the community of the king. From amongst the community, you as an individual who don't really have a position, like a minister. The minister is in close proximity to the king. But you as an individual, you revere, you respect, and you love the king. Two things. What do? You love, you respect. You respect, you love the king. When the king begins to realize and understand that you, being an ordinary person, have so much love, and you revere and you respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree, when you begin to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to give you? Obviously he will. That's like in any situation, in a relationship that we have. For instance, a son and a father. If the son displays respect and honors the father, and at the same time shows love, what you need to understand is, when you have respect, when you honor, when you revere, there's automatically an element of love in that. And it's due to the love that you have that you are showing respect. Therefore, love, respect, respect and love go hand in hand. You understand? Now, in this relationship with son and father, or it can be big brother, small brother, I don't know, big sister, where you have a relationship where you have somebody a little older and you show them respect, you revere them, and you love them at the same time. When they know that you love them and you show so much respect, and there's an element of obedience, there's an element of, when they say something to you, you immediately do it without questioning it. That is how you show respect. That when somebody says something to you, somebody that you love, you're not going to reject what they say. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the minbar. Rasulullah was giving a khutbah. The Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in was sat in the presence of Rasulullah in Masjid al-Nabawi. And at the time, Masjid al-Nabawi was small. It wasn't the way it is now. Now, mashallah, it is huge. It is so huge that it can be seen from Mount Uhud. And Mount Uhud, if you've been, is quite far. Another interesting point here is that in the ahadith is mentioned that when Dajjal appears, Dajjal will traverse the whole earth. Allah knows how he will do that, but he will be like almost everywhere at the same time. And so he will, again, he is a person who deceives people. This is why he's known as Dajjal. And we've been talking about deception in our morning session from the Kitab. So just as a point, again, Dajjal is a deceiver, and he deceives people. And so he will go everywhere, he will try to enter Medina Munawwara so that he can corrupt the people there. Because his job is to corrupt a person, to take them away from the deen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and take them basically into Jahannam. This is his job, this is what he will be doing. So it's mentioned in the hadith that he will go all over the world, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow him to go into Medina Munawwara. There will be angels that will be standing guard at the entrances of Medina Munawwara. In the hadith is mentioned there are seven entrances to Medina Munawwara, seven doors. If you look today at the Google map of Medina Munawwara, you see seven highways coming into Medina Munawwara. Allah knows, maybe these are the doors. And so what Dajjal will do is he will come as far as Mount Uhud. He will stand on Mount Uhud and he will look to Masjid al-Nabawi, and then he will proclaim that this is the White House of the Rasul of Allah. Where was I? See, I got diverted into something else. The Masjid al-Nabawi used to be small before. And it's not the way it is now, it's huge. When the Muazzin starts giving azan, you can leave your hotel and you can walk all the way into the Masjid and you can go right to the front and the azan is still on. So you think that's a short walk? No, that's a long walk. How far would it be? It's probably like from here all the way to Witten Road and maybe a bit further. That is how much you walk. And that's how long the azan lasts as well, mashallah. So Masjid al-Nabawi in those days was small, and obviously they didn't have a roof. There were leaves that from the trees of the date trees that would shade the Sahaba in the Masjid and so on. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sat on the minbar and he's giving a khutbah. And there was some Sahaba in the Masjid who was standing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them an instruction: sit. There was a Sahabi who was outside the Masjid. And he was coming in to the Masjid. He had not entered the Masjid yet. And when he arrived at the doorstep of the Masjid, he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, sit. Immediately that Sahabi sat on the doorstep of Masjid al-Nabawi. When you respect and you love, this is how obedient you become. You don't question it. You don't think, am I being told that? Not at all. The structure of Islam the binding factor, the binding force, the bonding that is in Islam that holds this structure together, that gives it strength and enforces whatever, I'm trying to find words, is based on two things, and that is love and respect. The more love and respect you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is a requirement actually, the better your relationship. In the same way with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the same way with the deen, in the same way with the sharia. And so our relationship with the Qur'an al-Kareem should be one of love and respect. In the same way, our relationship with the Ahadith Mubarakah should be of love and respect. At every level, with our mashayikh, with love and respect, with our asatiza, of love and respect, with our parents, because this is what is required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uffil lakuma, in the 21st para in Surah Luqman. Surah Luqman? 21st para? 15 para in Surah Bani Israel. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an instruction, don't even say uff to your mother and father. Don't even say uff. How is one going to oblige this instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's quite simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed you, you take it into consideration and you will say to yourself, Allah says I shouldn't even say uff to my mom and dad, therefore out of love and respect for my mom and dad, which is required from the point of the view of the sharia, I'm not going to say it. It's simple. It may be simple, but it's one of the most difficult things to do. Because we as individuals are out of control. We are what? Are we out of control? Speak up. Are we out of control? Of course we are out of control. If you look, okay, don't look at today, don't look at yesterday, don't look in the month of Ramadan, look in the last 2, 3, 4 months. Have you said something to your mom and dad that was not appropriate? That was disrespectful. Disrespect arises and comes about due to the fact that that element of love is not at a level that it should be at. Are you all following what I'm saying? Yes. It makes sense. Yes. It's not a mathematical equation. I was going to use the word myth again. Some of these boys will think, "Is where do I know all the names of these drugs? I know it all. Oh, cannabis and ganja and what else? Heroin and what else? Hafiz Jamil knows them. I don't know. He lives in Aston. He lives on a corner as well. No. He lives in the middle of a place where they deal in drugs. On his doorstep. Allah mafkar. It's not a mathematical equation. It's quite simple. It's about comprehension and understanding. And alhamdulillah, everyone here is intellectually capable of understanding what is being said. It's not Einstein's theory of relativity that you don't understand it. It's very simple. What is required are two things, love and respect. The more you respect, that is a sign of the fact that you have love. where did I begin this? And the whole structure of Islam, the whole, this building of Islam, or this whole, what it's been, Bani al-Islamu ala khams, is mentioned in the hadith. And some ulama, what they say is, you look at it like a tent, and it's got some pegs holding it down. And these are the pillars of Islam. When you talk about pillars, pillars hold up a building. So these pillars actually hold up this building of Islam. So let's call it a structure, let's call it a building, whatever you want. The strength that is gained in this building, in this structure, is through two things: love and respect. Now, as I was saying, when you revere, when you honor, when you have respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a degree, a level of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I'm stuck. Can you give me? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will refuse and say no? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Above everything else. More than father, more than mother, more than wife, more than children, more than your mobile. You love your mobile. Even the Etikaf brothers, they sit on the mobile, don't they? And they're not supposed to. I know, when I walk into the masjid, I can feel some... electrostatic stuff comes out of the phone, innit? The masjid is full when I come in. And these people think, I don't see what they're doing. Etikaf brothers, you will stop using your phone now. This is a rule. Didn't you tell them the rule? In the beginning, you should have gone through the rule. So you're guilty. So what is your punishment now? You were responsible for telling them. Whether you're told or not, you're in etikaf. Should you be using your phone, mobile phone? So why do you use it? Why? Because you have an attachment to it. You can't let go. You're addicted to it. As soon as you touch it, your endorphins begin to trickle out. You understand endorphins? That's the drug, isn't it, that the brain releases when you touch your phone. When you touch your phone, you feel nice. You feel comfortable. Huh? And what? Then you want to use it, then you want to look at it, then you want to browse it. If I am wrong in this, then all the Etikaf brothers can get together and punish me. Oh yes, absolutely. I will take the punishment. But I know I'm not wrong. Revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then when you come to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. There are so many instances of where in a situation people have raised their hands and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill a need of theirs, and immediately it's been fulfilled. Immediately. I'm just thinking that then one, two, three incidents come to the mind. But I'll stop here. So what happened? Harun Rashid called his son and said to him, you're the prince, you shouldn't be wearing clothes like that, simple clothes. you should be this and that. So when he called the bird came and told the bird to go back, the bird went back. Then he turned to his father and said to his father, "Father, me and you cannot get on. You sit on that chair and I don't want to sit on that chair. Therefore, I'm going to leave." The king did. Harun Rashid did plead with his son, "Stay, please." But he had made his mind up, and Harun Rashid saw that his son had taken a total change. Now here, the other day I said, it's not exactly clear how he became like he did, but however, ulama have written that from a young age, and he was 16 at the time, so from a young age, meaning 8, 9, 10, Harun Rashid's son used to sit with ulama and Sufis. And from that young age, he became, call it influence, and that's not in a negative way. He became influenced by sitting in the company. And by sitting in the company, he began to like and see and experience and feel the greatness in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he began to revere and respect and love. So by the time he reached the age of 16, spiritually he had matured than a 60, 70-year-old man. More than that. Even more than that. He had matured spiritually so much that now he could stand in front of his father and say to his father, "You're sitting on something material. I don't want material. You can have the material. I'm leaving, I'm going." And as he was leaving, you know, mothers are mothers. A mother has so much compassion for you. A mother has so much love for you. A mother has so much mercy for you as a child. Even when you get old, even when you become a Buddha and your mother is there, she will still call you son. She will still call you my baby. She'll always do that. And what do you do to your mother? You disrespect her. You say nasty things to her. You say oof to her. You show your back to her. You turn your face away from her. When she says something to you, you show your, you know, your face turns and expresses this disagreement and displeasure with your mother. Why? Do you know how much she loves you? She will do anything for you. You know what? She will kill herself for you. You don't know that, do you? Love and respect your mother. Love and respect your mother. Will you do that? Especially the young ones. Are you listening? Oh, the Hafiz class at the back. You're not an exception. Are you listening? I want to hear the Hafiz class say yes. Yes? They're not speaking. Look at them. All the Hafiz class boys, put your hand up so I can see where you are. Do you agree with me? Are you sure? We need to talk to them. How much should you revere your mother? How much respect should you give her? You can't do enough in that way. You cannot do enough. So what happened? Harun Rashid's son is leaving. The mother finds out. She comes running to him. She says, "Son, you're leaving." Now he's become a man of Allah. He's not a 16-year-old boy. He has become a mature man, a mature wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that age. So as he's leaving, his mother comes and gives him a ring, a very valuable ring. And kings, they have in their treasury, they have a lot of jewelry and stuff. And so this was a very expensive ring. She gives it to him and she says to him, Son, whenever a need arises, sell it so you can use the money to help you, aid you, whatever. So out of respect for his mother, he takes the ring with him. And he leaves. And now he's gone. He leaves the castle behind. He leaves the kingship behind. He leaves the princiness behind. He leaves the kingdom behind. He leaves the treasure behind. He leaves the comfort behind. He leaves everything behind. What does he take with him? What does he take with him? Yes, of course, that. But he takes something physical with him. He's taking the ring, obviously. But what does he take with him? He takes with him the Quran-e-Kareem. What does he take with him? The Quran-e-Kareem. If I leave till tomorrow, I'll continue. Inshallah. You want me to leave?
Inshallah.
Or you want me to disappear? Probably some of you. Jaan chute. Theek hai? So, what have you learned today? I'm going to pick on one of the boys to tell me. Who should I pick on? Just to make sure they're listening. Who should I pick on? Just randomly give me a name. Bilal. Where is Bilal? Bilal Pujana. Oh, Bilal. Oh, no, I'm talking from his class. Poor Bilal, you've made him sweat. Look at him, he's sweating now. You said Bilal, so I'll go with Bilal. Bilal, answer my question. What have you learned? Huh? Only mother. Respect and what? Love your father and mother. But you, who should you love first? Who should you love first?
Allah.
Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to develop a very high degree of respect and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
Amen.
For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the Quran Kareem, for the Ahadith Mubarakah, for the Deen. Quickly turn the light off. Now look at this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how great and gracious and merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. I did not even choose to say what I was going to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it. And as I'm talking, I receive a text. It's a mother who is saying she's grateful that I'm speaking about this, but the mother should also understand that be a mother. Be a mother in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. But alhamdulillah, she's being grateful of the fact that I'm speaking about respect of parents, and she says that today, just today, her son was disrespectful towards her. And, well, it seems he may be here. If he is here, take heed, boy. Do not disrespect your mother. So I will say this, that we talk about the rights of the parents, but children have rights too. And parents should not overlook that aspect, and they need to fulfill and play their role of looking after their child, doing tarbiyah of their child, understanding the child, understanding the psychology of the child, and helping them to develop respect and love. May Allah make it easy for the parents.
Amen.
May Allah make it easy for the children.
Amen.
So how are you going to develop the respect and the love? The more you like a particular, say, footballer, and most of you here, you like football, you follow football, Allah maaf kare. Say Ameen. Especially the younger boys. Say Ameen. Okay. So you like a particular footballer, what do? You constantly talk about that footballer, you constantly read about that footballer, you constantly watch that footballer. That's another subject I'm going to touch on, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows me to, is watching the screen. Any screen, that means a TV screen, a computer screen, a mobile screen, a laptop screen, a tablet screen. I'm talking about all screens. And now I'm going to have to include the watch screen. The watch has a screen too now. It's an interactive screen. Somebody's fiddling with their wrist and I'm thinking, what is he doing? And then I realize he's got a screen on his wrist. Call me backward if you want. So, how are we going to increase this? We're going to increase this love and respect by taking the name of Allah. Because the more you take the name of Allah, the more you revere Allah, the more you respect Allah, the more you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ready? So, as always, you should empty your mind from thoughts. Because when you take the name of Allah, you don't want to be putting anything else with the thought of Allah. So empty your mind, just free yourself. Allah, 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 Allah. Come on, Hibs class boys. You're just sitting there. Ibrahim, I can see you. And you're not doing anything. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، اللهم تجاوز عن أمت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع، صلى الله عليه وسلم، برحمتك يا رب.